As an unlicensed doctor, we suggest a prescription for one of our shows. Sign up for our free podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Fake Doctor's Orders. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. This is The Fantasy Show on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Well, you're probably woken up by that. Happy New Year. It is 8:01. Good morning. The Fantasy Show live for week 17 in the National Football League. My name is Alex Xero, Dan Riccio alongside me as well. Happy New Year, Reach. How are you this morning?
I'm great, Alex. I just want to say to you and our producers who are wide awake and wide-eyed this morning, Vic Palladian, Mark Boffo, as Nonna Palma would say, and all you listeners out there as well, Happy New You.
Happy New You. Very nice. I kept it very quiet last night. Yeah. For those who don't know, I have two young girls, and we watched CNN all night. That's what we did.
Really?
Played Bright Light.
Sounds exciting.
My four-year-old got a Bright Light as a gift, for those who remember the Bright Lights. Mm-hmm. And I forget how the jingle goes, but the commercial was very popular back in the day. So we did that, and we ate chips, and it was very low-key. What about you?
Yeah, I just went out for a quality dinner.
Nice.
One of my favorite places that has
Ponderosa, clearly.
Maybe the best pasta dish in all of Toronto.
That would not be Ponderosa.
No, definitely not Ponderosa. And then
I love that place.
Went to my cousin's house, a bunch of people. We played Cards Against Humanity, and we watched Mariah Carey just tear up the stage.
All right, so two things about that. Cards Against Humanity, for those who haven't played, is one of the greatest games ever.
It's so much fun.
But you have to make sure you're playing with people who obviously have a very good sense of humor. Yes. And can deal with
some dirtiness.
Yeah.
And some borderline racial commenting.
So
it can get interesting.
Yeah. Like I think the first time we played, it must have been myself, my wife, some of her cousins, and I think her uncle might have been lurking in the background.
Right.
And he's the nicest guy, never swears. He's an amazing. So I'm like saying some things, and I can feel, like, I think he's hearing, and I don't want him to. Because, of course, I'm giggling about some of the stuff, too.
Get the wrong impression of who Alex Xero is, you know?
But he's also the guy who, he watched Jackass.
Yeah.
And he's, like, front to back, he laughed throughout the entire thing. He loved it. It's amazing. So we hope you all have a happy, healthy, prosperous 2017. And we're here to talk fantasy football. Technically, most of your fantasy leagues are done by now, but there are some leagues who maybe have a two-week championship that goes into week 17, or week 17 is your championship. We have strongly advised on this show for many, many years that you should end it at week 16. And if you're going through to this week, we're going to help you choose between Matt McGloin and Matt Castle and
Rex Burkhead.
Yeah, and we'll tell you who's
like the running back the Jets are starting today.
Like some guy named Brian, I think.
Yeah,
it could be Bilal Powell. He might play through his injury, but I mean, the good thing with last week was, off the top of my head, there weren't many issues where.
Only Dallas was clinched, right? Pretty much.
And Zeke had a good game. Dez Bryant went off. They were all good. That was the one concern we had last week was, and I think you raised the issue, was what do you do with the Cowboys?
Yeah.
And I did get some tweets late on Sunday saying, should I rest them? And we were never really given any indication by the team that they were going to be benching anyone. So hopefully you started those guys. But look, week 16, looking at the leaders, in fantasy points, like Aaron Rodgers almost had 50. Russ was great. Tyrod was great. Like Adam Thielen was pretty much the big surprise. He had in one of my leagues, we do fantasy scoring. He had 40 fantasy points, 202 on 12 catches and 2 touchdowns. And this is with him. This is something that's kind of been brewing. Like for the last number of weeks, he's just been outperforming Stephon Diggs. And again today, he should put up a whole whack of points, I would think. But Kirk Cousins went off. Jordy, Luck, Blake Bortles had a great game. So did David Johnson. So most of your studs in week 16, At least the ones that are here on the top of the Fantasy Point leaderboard kind of came through. Jay Ajayi, Doug Baldwin went off. Even Charles Clay continued to play really well. But
where was that early in the season?
Well, yeah, I don't know. And that's the thing. Like, a guy like Charles Clay could easily have, if you just had him stashed on your bench and maybe a loss. Rob Gronkowski at one point of the season, and just kind of had to play him because he had no one else. He's very well could have been a league winner.
Yep.
Zach Zenner could have been a league winner. Even though they kind of went away from him in the second half, it was really strange. It seemed like in the first half there was nothing he could do wrong, and he'll get the start again today for the Detroit Lions. But, I mean, you know, now that the fantasy season is closed, and we'll get to all the Week 17 games today. We have all the injury news, who's going to be rested, who's not, what the playoff scenarios are. We'll talk DFS with Rob Wong. But is there, I mean, when you think about it, Dan, is there one solid way of breaking down what 2016 was in terms of fantasy football? Like, there were a lot of things that obviously went wrong. We've talked about all the guys in the first couple rounds that just didn't hit, injury wise, performance wise, whatever. But I think the strong narrative going into the year was you don't want to get burned by maybe taking the wrong running back in the first couple rounds. Yeah, and
I was going to go the same way.
Yeah,
it's absolutely about the return of the elite running back. We know it can still be a very volatile position, but at the same time, if you drafted David Johnson in the first five picks, I'm pretty sure you're extremely happy with how things went.
And for those who forget, dude, Todd Gurley was right there.
Yeah.
Right. Todd Gurley, as August rolled along, was kind of creeping into like the top six of drafts.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a decision a lot of people had. So
some people took Gurley ahead of David Johnson.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, look, there's two ways you could think about it, but especially in today's fantasy scoring world where a lot of people like to play with PPR, and you see the way, I mean, David Johnson and Le'Veon Bell, they are kind of the future, and teams are going to look for guys that can follow that kind of mold now,
right?
That can be kind of wide receivers and running backs. We saw the Saints double teaming David Johnson when he lined up as a receiver. There's so many different ways that you can use these guys, and they're so valuable to those teams and that offense. And it just, you know, to me, it made me remember why I loved hitting on that big running back in the first round, because it just makes the rest of your week seem so much easier. You know, if you get 20 to 25 points from that one guy,
right,
the rest of your lineup is just so, like, it makes it so much easier.
Well, and the beauty thing about fantasy is even if you weren't fortunate to be handed that opportunity, like if you went receiver, if you went Dez and Keenan Allen in the first two rounds, or Dez and Sammy, and then you eventually hit on Melvin Gordon, maybe you picked up Jordan Howard off waivers, or you spent a later pick on LeGarrette Blount. Just because you didn't go running back in the first two rounds doesn't mean you were toast. Like, there's so many different ways to accrue the amount of points you need to win your league. But my guess is next year, between Johnson and Zeke and Bell and LaShawn, maybe DeMarco Murray, Melvin Gordon, Jordan Howard, I mean, like, in a 16-team league, there could be maybe 10 running backs taken in the first round, and that's how it used to be. It wasn't that way back in August, but it's probably trending that way next year. So definitely the return of the running back is there. I mean, a couple of big quarterbacks missed. I mean, and over the next 4 weeks during the playoff season, we're going to go position by position in detail and kind of figure out what happened. But Cam killed you.
Oh, yeah.
Aaron Rodgers did not. Andrew Luck was fine. If you took a pick on Tom Brady and held him for 4 weeks, you were looking good. Some of the middle round quarterbacks didn't really hit. Carson Palmer is probably the one name that comes to mind the most. But in terms of fantasy disappointments, Cam is right up there. He might be number one. I don't know. Like,
yeah,
I'm trying
because
to think
he was
of
the first quarterback off the board.
Yeah.
And you know, like, you could have forecasted some level of regression from his stats from a year ago.
Which we did.
Yeah.
We did.
And I remember talking about that specifically on our quarterback preview. But to have the season that he had, no. I mean, nobody really expected that.
And predominantly healthy, too.
Yeah.
Right? He has the shoulder thing now, but
And it's funny that both of the guys that I like, I would throw Allen Robinson in there as the co-biggest disappointment of the fantasy season.
And DeAndre.
And probably DeAndre Hopkins. But the thing with Allen Robinson is, like, that, even if you saw some touchdown regression, I mean, he's just such a talented receiver in an offense that was throwing the ball like crazy last year. And there was, it was hard to see bust potential there.
Yeah.
You could see regression, but not bust potential.
Well, and even middle of the season, you know, there was, with those two guys, with those two wide receivers specifically, it was, should you buy low?
Right.
And I was kind of hesitant about A-Rob because, well, I mean, the quarterbacks for both of those teams were playing so bad. But I think at the time, Houston had a much better schedule. So I kind of trended towards saying, yeah, if you wanted to buy low on DeAndre Hopkins, do it. Allen Robinson, probably not. But for the most part, with both of them, like, they, I mean, the Tom Savage hero game was great for DeAndre and Allen Robinson. They kind of moved him around last week, and he looked great, right? The Jaguars were throwing the ball down the field a lot, and they really don't have a running game. All their running backs are hurt, Chris Ivory aside. But it will be interesting to see where those guys fall next year. Like, I can't see Allen Robinson falling past, like, maybe the fourth round, just because there's so much upside.
Yeah.
But definitely, I think with both of them, you're going to be getting a bit of a value at where you draft them. And with Houston, who the hell knows what they're going to do at quarterback?
Right.
Like, I tell myself, man, if Tyrod Taylor is on the Houston Texans,
that would be something.
Right. That would be great.
It would also, like, Tony Romo. Like, there's a lot of guys.
Yeah, Tony Romo is, I see the fit there. I see it in Denver. I don't see it in Buffalo. And I know in Buffalo there's a lot of talk this week about, well, there's talk about a lot of things with the Bills because they are a mess.
I've been hammering the Bills. And this isn't really fantasy.
And you should be.
This isn't really fantasy.
Okay, we're going to do it. Let's do it. Let's just hash it out.
Well, I know how big a Bills fan you room. Are. Yeah. I know how big a Bills fan you are.
Which angle should we attack here? The coach?
I want to talk about the quarterback.
The front office putting the interim head coach out there to answer questions about
why they fired Rex Ryan. Yeah, like, there's so, and by the way, that interim head coach is probably going to be the next guy. So, but I can't understand why. Like, you know, in today's day and age, if you get a halfway decent quarterback in the NFL, and I'm pretty sure by most of the metrics, Tyrod Taylor is more than halfway decent. He's above average compared to the rest of the NFL.
I would agree with that.
And regardless of what you have to pay him, you agreed to that contract. So I don't understand. You also didn't have to forcefully give him an extension. But why are you even pondering getting rid of a guy who is a halfway decent
quarterback? Well, I'll tell you. It's because Tyrod was Rex's guy. There wasn't a bigger backer of Tyrod Taylor on that team than Rex Ryan. Rex Ryan's gone.
Yeah.
So what's happening now is, whether it's Anthony Lynn or someone else comes in, you would think that they would have the choice of, or at least a large say in, who the next quarterback is going to be in Buffalo. And for $27.5 million, they've probably come to the decision that it's not going to be Tyrod Taylor. But again, if they think they're close, and with as many things that went wrong this year, they're still going to finish, you know, they're going to hover around 500, right? So if they think they're close, then they should probably keep Tyrod Taylor. The offense was not the problem. They were averaging about 25 points a game.
They were a bottom third offense before Tyrod Taylor showed up.
Absolutely. And they did blow out some teams, which did help, but still. Problem with Tyrod was, in some big spots, he completely let the Bills down.
He also had, like, zero receivers to throw to the entire year.
I agree. There were some moments. The Raiders game is the one that sticks out, where they went up 24-9, and he just couldn't make a simple pass.
Yeah.
And he has issues reading the field. But look, like, I'm with you, because I think that they think that they're pretty close to getting back in the playoffs. Well, if you're going to remove yourself from probably the best quarterback you've had since Bledsoe?
It's been a while.
Drew Bledsoe.
He's basically the only guy with a winning record since those days.
So what do you do? So what do you do if you think you have a chance to be a 9-10 win team next year? You're going to bring in a new defensive coordinator, get a few, I mean, they have a whole bunch of guys who are going to be free agents, by the way, like 23 or 24. But I just don't know if you go away from Tyrod, what are you going to do? Who's going to come in that's going to help you win 10 games next year. I don't get
Matt Barkley, Mike Glennon.
No.
Keep
going. The free agent list
is Jay Cutler?
No. And it's not Tony Romo.
Right.
Because Tony Romo is probably going to have three or four
He's not even going to make it through the preseason.
Well, there's that too.
Yeah.
But why would he want to go to Buffalo?
Yeah.
Why wouldn't he go to Houston? Or why wouldn't he go to Denver? Mm-hmm. Right? Like, I don't think the Cowboys would want him to play within the division. I would completely understand that. And sending him to the AFC East would make some sense. But if you're Tony Romo, why the hell would you want to go into that mess? And it's a mess. The entire thing is a mess.
Yeah, and Doug Willey is probably the guy at the forefront, and yet he's the guy tasked with finding the new head coach.
It's so frustrating.
Continuing to build this team.
All right, so... Oh, I'm just off the rails now. I'm so upset. So going to Adam Schefter and Ian Rappaport's Twitter accounts this morning. Again, there isn't really much injury news we've gotten from these guys. Most of the stuff they've been talking about today revolves around coaches. And Gary Kubiak looks like he's going to be leaving the Denver Broncos after today's game. It seems like it is more health related than anything that he's mulling retirement. He's had some migraine issues. He had, a mini stroke a couple of years ago. Apparently, his family's concerned. So Broncos might be needing to look for a head coach. Looks like the 49ers are going to be cleaning house in San Francisco. So for the second straight year, after 1 year, a head coach will be fired. And as Dan said, looks like, according to Rappaport, it looks like Anthony Lynn is the odds-on favorite to become the new head coach of the Buffalo Bills. And apparently, wherever Anthony Lynn winds up, I guess him and Gus Bradley like are a thing. They're friends. Ooh. And apparently Gus Bradley will be joining him to be a coordinator.
Defensive coordinator? Because, I mean, that defense in Jacksonville was pretty great the last couple of years.
Well, and Terrell Austin too, right? He's the coordinator in Detroit. And, I mean, they've had their issues, but they've been banged up with injuries as well, but he's done a nice job in Detroit this year. So I don't know. I have no idea who's the best option for them. I have no idea. I don't know who's going to be their quarterback next year. I have no idea.
The two Bills tweets that were epic this week was one Rap Sheet saying part of Bill's decision to bench Tyrod is because they want to get one final look at EJ Manuel to see if he's worthy of being brought back in 2017.
And a lot of people look at that and believe it.
What?
Yeah. Now, do you know? I'll tell you why they're starting him. You know why they're starting him today? Because he's going to be out of contract.
Yeah.
And they need somebody to play.
Yeah.
That's the only reason he's playing today.
Let's hope so.
I can't believe Ian would even throw something like that out.
And then the second thing is Albert Breer, I believe, who said that the Bills would look at Jim Schwartz as their head coach.
I didn't see that.
Because, of course, Rex Ryan was the reason Jim Schwartz left. And Jim Schwartz was great at coaching the defense. Rex Ryan comes in, he's like, nah, I'm better at coaching the defense than you. And he kicks him out of town, and the Bills' defense goes south real fast.
I don't think there's a chance in hell he comes back. Yeah. Maybe if they threw enough money at him. But, yeah, they pretty much, after having one of the best defenses in the league, Rex comes in and says, get out of here. And this Civ, who's been coaching this team defensively.
Well, remember when, like, I remember terrible. A couple of years ago, when Rex came in, that was the thing. It was like, wow, look at the Bills just got Mario Williams.
Yeah.
What is this defense going to do with Rex Ryan at the helm? Like, this defense could be the leader in scoring, and you're thinking about drafting them in fantasy drafts.
And right away,
just completely awful.
I think they made a defensive switch scheme away too. I think they were 3-4 and they went to 4-3 or something. And that was a big point of contention. Anyways, So, all right, where do you want to go with this right now? I mean, let's look at the scenarios. How about we do that? And we'll figure out where teams are and what they have to do, who has nothing to play for today. And I will say right off the top, most of the 1 o'clock games, like there's no Thursday night game, there's no Monday night game. Most of the 1 o'clock games today are there's really nothing for these teams to play for. The 4 o'clocks are better. And then, of course, the big one tonight, it's the Packers and the Lions. Winner of that one wins the NFC North. So the Patriots with a win today will clinch the top seed in the AFC. So they have something to play for. Clearly, they're at Dan's Dolphins. The Raiders could become the number one seed if they beat the Broncos and the Patriots lose to Miami, which seems unlikely, but there is a chance that can happen. The Steelers are locked in as the 3 seed. They're going to be resting all their big guys against Cleveland today. No Big Ben, no Le'Veon Bell, no Antonio Brown, no Ladarius Green. So lots of Eli Rogers, Sammy Coates, Kobe Hamilton, those guys, Darius Hayward-Bay, D'Angelo Williams, and looks like even Fitzgerald Toussaint's probably going to get a lot of run as well for Pittsburgh.
Yeah, and there's also the outside chance, I mean, very outside chance, that if the Browns win this game, they don't get the first overall pick. So you wonder if the Browns, like, and they're also starting Robert Griffin III again, so they probably are in tank mode at this point.
Yeah, so... yeah, if Cleveland wins and San Francisco
loses,
doesn't, Niners get the first overall pick. Cleveland falls to 2. Houston Texans are at Tennessee, and the Texans are locked in as the 4 seed. So Lamar Miller will not play today. I think I haven't seen anything about DeAndre Hopkins.
Right.
I would be surprised if he plays today. It doesn't seem like he's really.
Yeah, I think, you know, like, one of the things that I've been thinking about this week is, like, if you're the Texans, mm-hmm. right, you're the worst offense in the NFL. You got this new quarterback because you finally gave up on Brock Osweiler probably a couple weeks too late. But you want to get some consistency. You want to get those guys as much feel together as they possibly can.
Yeah.
And what better time to do it than against this year's version of the New Orleans Saints, who can't stop anybody against on the pass.
Tennessee. That's a good point. I just want, if we're weighing that between DeAndre getting hurt, like, that's really the only angle I was going from. But to be fair, he hasn't really, from what we've been told publicly, he's been pretty healthy all season. So maybe that's just a situation they get in two or three drives and he plays. But I'd be super, super cautious with him.
I mean, I think, like, these are, if guys aren't with anything real to play for. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think from a DFS perspective, which is what I think both of us will be playing, because we're not idiots that play in week 17.
Right.
In season-long leagues.
Well, we don't want to denigrate.
So we just throw our money away.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, we do want to denigrate the week 17 players. You shouldn't play.
Okay, fine. They're all sleeping anyways.
But, like, yeah, if you are playing DFS this week, I think you look at these guys as tournament plays that could hit big. But
and DeAndre's not one of them.
If you're playing in 50-50s or cash games, head-to-heads,
yeah,
dangerous to play these guys.
So Kansas City is sitting as the 5 seed right now. They're at San Diego. If the Raiders lose and Kansas City wins, the Chiefs get the 2 seed and the Chiefs get a bye.
Yeah.
So that's a nice scenario because all their guys are going to be out there. Spencer Ware is a bit banged up. He's a game time decision, so we'll have to watch out for him.
I saw the rap sheet tweeting that. Mm-hmm. Spencer Ware is hopeful to play. He also has a bonus in his contract that if he gets 79 yards, he earns another $600,000. So more incentive for Spencer Ware today, who's been really stinky poopy.
He's got 1 touchdown in his last 9 games.
Mm-hmm.
Not great. And your Dolphins, Dan, again.
They have nothing to play.
Congratulations. Well, they could move to the 5 seed.
Yeah.
So here's the scenario. If they win and Kansas City lose, then the Dolphins get the 5 seed and get the Texans. If the Dolphins stay put, they got to go to Pittsburgh in the wild card round.
Yeah.
You'd rather play Houston, right?
100%. I mean, I'd rather play the team that can't play defense or that can't play offense.
So they do have something to play for.
That's true.
In terms of Ajayi and Landry and even Kenny Stills, who's like kind of been better than Jarvis Landry, like those are all viable, you know, week 17 and DFS options.
Yeah, and they want to run Ajayi out there, but I just don't know how much he can run against teams not named the Buffalo Bills.
That's true. And he hurt himself too late in that game.
Yeah,
his shoulder.
Which is very strange.
In terms of the NFC picture, the Cowboys locked in as the 1 seed, so they're going to get home field throughout the playoffs. So what we're hearing, out of Dallas as I try to burp, that's attractive, is that it looks like Dak will start and Zeke and Dez, but they'll only play a few series. And then we're going to see Tony Romo for a bit, which I understand. I think they need to get him out there just in case Dak gets hurt in the playoffs. Or
completely implodes in the playoffs.
Yeah. You need Tony to have a little resemblance of football games that matter, even though this one doesn't for the Cowboys today. But we're going to see a lot of Tony Romo, and or maybe a little bit of Tony Romo, and then Mark Sanchez is going to take over the rest of the way. Pretty much all their offensive line is going to be rested today. It's going to be their second-tier offensive line. So you have to keep that in mind. And the Cowboys are on the road against Philadelphia. The Falcons do have something to play for, because if they beat the Saints today, then Atlanta will clinch the 2 seed, and they will get a first-round bye. Now, they can also, I believe, if they lose, if they lose and the Seahawks win, if Seattle beats San Francisco, then Seattle moves up to the 2 seed. Atlanta falls to the 3 seed. So the Seahawks also do have a chance to get a first-round bye at San Francisco. Oh, my God. Like, Thomas Rawls should go just bananas today against that run D.
I want to say yes, but, like...
No. I like nice.
He's been so bad.
But it's San Francisco. It's
almost like another Todd Gurley situation of last week.
Scored a touchdown.
Yeah, he did.
Which is really good for him.
Which is pretty much all you can say good about Todd Gurley these days. Thomas Rawls is probably one of the better plays of the day.
The New York Giants are locked in as the 5 seed. So, I mean, Odell is really the only guy you'd want to play, but... Ben McAdoo's been kind of very mysterious with saying, I mean, I think he's said his starters are going to play. He hasn't said for how long. It could be 1 series for all we know. It should be. They have, again, they're going to be the 5 seed. They're going to be on the road on wild card weekend. So I just can't see why, again, they would risk anything today against the Redskins team that with a win will clinch a playoff spot.
Yeah, I think so. From my perspective, I'm looking at this more from a Washington perspective, where how many guys on this Giants defense, which is the daunting part of the Giants team, how much do they play?
Yeah.
And what does it mean for Washington's offense? Is it going to help Kirk Cousins? Is it going to help DeSean Jackson and Rob Kelly? So that's where I want to know more so, because the Giants offense, as you mentioned, it's just Odell and everybody else.
The G-men would want to stick it to Washington, right? That's the thing. Divisional rival. If they can play a role in preventing the Redskins from making the playoffs, they're going to do it. But still, I mean, if Kirk got to you here in a season-long lead, or DeSean Jackson, it looks like Jordan Reed's going to play today. I don't know if I'd want to start Jordan Reed, but the Redskins do have something to play for. Big game tonight, Green Bay and Detroit. Winner gets the NFC North. And the Tampa Bay Buccaneers have a slim chance of making the playoffs. They
it's
need
like
to 0.475 win
4.75 of a chance.
They need to beat the Panthers, and then they need Green Bay to lose, and they also need the Redskins to tie the Giants.
Here's what I would say.
It's not gonna happen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, if it does happen, if it were to happen, like, they will make a Hollywood movie about this day.
Oh, yeah.
And, like,
30 for 30, for sure.
And have whoever's being, Dirk Cutter, whoever's being Dirk Cutter in the movie is going to have, like, this incredible pregame speech about how less than 1%, but we can be that less than 1%.
Who would play Dirk Cutter, by the way?
I have no idea.
Matthew McConaughey.
Val Kilmer.
Yeah, sure, that would work. And that's nice for the Buccaneers, you know, from fantasy, because they have something to play for today. It's a very slim shot, but all their starters are going to be out there. Not Doug Martin, who was suspended for Adderall use.
He's also good for Jaquiz.
Yeah. So here's what we're going to do. If you're awake and listening and you're in a Week 17 final and you need some advice, we're going to keep the lines open for you in the off chance that you want to ask us something. 416-870-0590, *590 on the cell. Toll free is 1-888-666-0590. You can send us tweets at AlexFan590, at DanRiccio590. And we're here live until 10 o'clock, getting you set for Week 17. We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll start to look at the games from today. And again, Rob Wong joins us at 9 o'clock. He'll give us his take on the DFS slate for Week 17. The Fantasy Show continues as we wish you a very happy new year on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Very big day coming up on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. It's the Centennial Classic live from... Should we be calling it BMO? Do we have to call it exhibition?
I was nudged and winked yesterday and the last couple of days that I should be saying Exhibition Stadium.
Okay, so live from Exhibition Stadium, whatever. It's the Leafs and the Red Wings in the Centennial Classic. Puck drop at 3 o'clock on Sportsnet 590 The Fan, but Gordon Todd will be there at 12:30 with a 2.5-hour edition of Leafs Nation pregame. The coverage on Sportsnet starts at 2. And again, puck drop just after 3 o'clock. We did forget to talk about Mariah Carey from last night in that first segment. And I don't know how much there is to say that hasn't already been said on social media, but whoever was controlling the vocals, as you pointed out before the show, clearly had it in for her.
It was a little Veronica, what's her name?
Corningstone?
Veronica Corningstone on Ron Burgundy, was it not? Playing with the teleprompter?
Yeah.
It seemed like a little bit of that to me as well.
Forget what Will Ferrell, he called, Veronica's at her desk, and then Will Ferrell, the guys are huddling, and, oh, hello, this is Dr. whatever. We just invited you to come to Russia. So you don't have to pack your desk. Hey, thanks. It's one of my favorite parts of the whole movie. Yeah, Don Lemon got stupid drunk on CNN last night. That was kind of cool. Adnan Virk had a tweet about Fergie that I can't say on the air.
Oh.
That was a highlight from last night.
You know what's weird about Fergie is just like the way she talks, how she's always like moving.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
What are you doing?
That's what LSD does to you in high consumptions.
Stop moving.
A tweet from Drew, who you may know.
Yeah.
He tweeted me. Happy New Year. Maybe the Texas Rangers will win a playoff game this year at home. It's pretty funny. And surprise, surprise, DeMarcus Cousins went off on the Sacramento Kings last night. 26 points, 4 assists, 8 rebounds, 5 blocks. Kings lose, and I'm sick of these effing excuses. Just trade him to the Raptors already, please. Just make it happen.
Also, James Harden just ruined fantasy worlds last night. If you didn't have him in your DFS lineup, just good night. Like, see you later.
He had over 100 DFS points on one website.
He scored more than a third of the points my team put together.
Oh, my God.
Like,
What else happened last night that was of note? Canada lost. That was something. That was more yesterday.
Couple of Leaf prospects, Joseph Woll, Jeremy Bracco getting in on the fun for the U.S.
Don Lemon got really hammered. It's a yearly thing. He got it. Not only did he get his ear pierced live on TV, happened. But he like opened up about himself, said he wanted to get into a relationship. I think he's called himself self-centered. Like apparently he's a bit of an ass. Like he's got this thing about being just a difficult person to deal with. Someone who's not difficult is Sean and Markham, who has just called in, who I guess, I don't know if this is from a DFS angle or he's still playing his fantasy championship, but he is awake on this New Year's Day. And Sean joins us on the Fantasy Show. Happy New Year, Sean.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
No, I'm in an evil, evil standard league that decides to hold their championship game on week 17.
That's cool.
You need to petition to make this stop.
Yeah.
If I win this league, it's the first thing I'm going to do. It's the first thing. I get to make rule changes, and that's the first thing.
Yeah, but hang on a second. If you win with week 17 in the picture, I don't think you should tempt fate. Right?
You should. It's the right thing to do, Sean.
It is. It's been such a stressful week on the waiver wire.
Is it a 2-week championship or just this week?
It's just this week.
All right.
So it's just this week, and it's just been incredible over the course of the last 5 days how I took a beautiful team and it's just been deconstructed to a bunch of nobodies because of how it is, right?
Yeah. So what's the situation today?
Okay, well, I feel pretty confident that I'm going to win this thing. Been lucky enough, I got Aaron Rodgers today.
Nice.
And Sam Bradford.
Mm-hmm.
So I think my quarterback situation's good. I picked up Eli Rodgers on the waiver wire for wide receiver, and I also have Emmanuel Sanders. My third wide receiver, though, was my question to you guys. I got Sammy Watkins, but I also got Jermaine Kearse of the Seahawks because Lockett's out. So that's one question. And the other thing is, I'm not sure if you – I know it was a couple days ago it was announced with McFadden that he had some illness. Is he still good to go today for Dallas? Because I have him right now in my flex position.
Well, let's deal with that first. The latest on when I put my notes together on Friday evening, the latest was that, yeah, he had an illness. He was a game time call. I haven't seen anything this morning. So as of right now, I'm working under the assumption that Zeke starts and Alfred Morris gets most of the work.
Right.
The rest of the way. But that could change if Run DMC is okay. So
yeah, you might want to make a switch there with McFadden.
Yeah. Now, I think your wide receiver, to me, it's easy. To me, I would play Sammy, and I would play Sammy for a couple of reasons. Let me try to explain it this way, because I think this is obviously going to be EJ Manuel's last game in Buffalo. I think the three of us could all agree on that. And I think EJ has one clear thing that he needs to do today, and that is to prove, even against one of the worst pass defenses in the league, EJ needs to prove that he is a semi-capable backup, okay? Because if EJ Manuel wants...
He has to prove he can at least hold a clipboard next year.
Yes, exactly. And I think the easiest way for EJ to do that is to what? Look Sammy's way and pepper Sammy with targets and hope Sammy goes for 9 for 90 and a touchdown or something. Now, as a Bills fan, I don't think Sammy Watkins should be out there today, knowing his foot is still broken, right? But it looks like he is going to play. Although he's questionable, it looks like he'll be out there. So I think, I said this a couple days ago on the Walker show, I think the Bills understand Anthony Lynn. There's a good chance he's going to be their head coach next year.
Yeah.
And since he's taken over running the offense, he's been very good, right? Mm-hmm. Like, the Bills took a lot of heat for firing Greg Roman, and since Anthony Lynn took over, they've been fine. They've been maybe even better than they were under Greg Roman. So I think this is a game where Sammy gets his. I think there's too many questions with Jermaine Kearse, right? Like, I know he's technically their number two, but Thomas Rawls should run all over the 49ers. You know, Paul Richardson might kind of factor in a little bit more now that Tyler Lockett is gone. So in a very long-winded way, Sean, I think you should start Sammy Watkins today.
Yeah, okay, thanks, guys. And now the other thing I was going to say, just sort of pertaining to that flex position, like I had McFadden because I thought he was going to be the primary back. Now you said Morris. Now the other thing is, too, is on my bench, I picked up those two other backs out of Pittsburgh, too, D'Angelo and...
Toussaint?
Toussaint, yeah.
Toussaint.
Toussaint.
Well, okay, here's my theory on that. My theory on that situation is D'Angelo Williams has had a knee issue for a while. And the read I get is they want to get him work because... He's been off for so long. But I don't think they want to give him too much work because he's been hurt. So I think they're going to finesse Lee, if that's a word, which I don't think it is.
No, it's not.
Get him some work. I think Toussaint is good. I think Toussaint's the guy I kind of want here, even though there have been reports out of Pittsburgh that D'Angelo's going to get a healthy workload. But
I think they both get about, well, I think D'Angelo probably gets capped around 10, but Toussaint probably gets around closer to 15.
It could be a lot more if they just blow the game out.
Yeah, and the thing is, it's Cleveland, so you could relatively see both guys giving a decent value against the Cleveland Browns.
I think right now I would play both of those guys over McFadden, unless we get a report that comes in over the next couple hours to say definitively that when Zeke is out of the game for Dallas, then it's McFadden the rest of the way.
Okay, that sounds good, And the response is probably still going to be a healthy workload for McCoy because I got McCoy and Rodgers from the Bucs as my backs today.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think they're fine. I think they'll both maybe touch the ball like 55 times combined. I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. You got a good lineup. Sounds like you might win. Hope it works out for you.
Okay. Thanks a lot, guys.
All right, Sean. Best of the season to you. There goes Sean in Markham. Lines open 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell, toll free 1-888-666-0590. Dan, let's maybe get into a game or two here before the break, and then at 9 o'clock we'll talk DFS with Rob Wong. We'll start with the Ravens on the road in Cincinnati to take on the Bengals. Jeremy Hill is questionable. He probably will not play today. No Tyler Eifert, no AJ Green. So I think the clear play here, probably Rex Burkhead, who had 4 catches last week, and the Ravens have given up some production on the ground over the last 3 to 4 weeks. So Burkhead in DFS is pretty cheap. I think he'll probably be chalk, to be honest, in a lot of tournaments. But aside from him, like, do you like Burkhead today?
I do like Burkhead. I mean, I don't like I don't know if he has a whole ton of upside to him. There is the question if maybe Jeremy Hill also plays. Yeah, I think he got in a limited practice on Friday. So that's one thing I'm looking for before the...
I don't think he's going to.
Yeah, it's an outside shot, but it might happen. If that, as expected, happens, Rex Burkhead should be a fine play. The real question is Steve Smith here? I mean, how much do you buy into Narrative Street? It's Steve Smith, as he said, 89% chance it's his last game.
Yeah.
And if it is his last game, do you think Baltimore just feeds him the rock all day?
Can I give you the honest answer for me?
Yeah.
I have no idea. Like, it's great to say and it's easy to say, but what if he's covered all the time?
Yeah.
What if he's double teamed? Now, he's been better than Mike Wallace since he came back from injury, but I don't know. Is he really going to get 17 targets because this is going to be his last game? Is this going to be a Kobe Bryant moment? You know, where Kobe threw up like 80 shots in his final. Like, I don't know if that's how it works here. Like in DFS, Steve Smith is priced nicely.
Yep.
And I think you just get get seven catches for 70 and a touchdown, you deal with that. But I don't know if this is going to be, if it's going to be much more than that. Like I can't definitively say they're going to be looking his way more because he's going to retire. Like, I don't know how we can say that.
Yeah, and there's the narrative with Dre Kirkpatrick as well, right? Where I think he held him to like 20 yards or something in week 12. And there's been some words between them in the media ever since. So, you know, Steve Smith, I mean, when things like that happen, he likes to get the better end of the stick at the end of it. But I don't know, man. Like, I have a hard time clicking his name because there's not a whole lot to like here with an over-under around 40.
I think he'll be chalked, too, in daily.
Yeah, people are going to be all over him.
Yeah, we'll talk to Rob about that in about 10 minutes. In terms of the running game, I mean, it's kind of, you know, Kyle Juszczyk had a touchdown last week. They're using him a little bit, and Terrence West and Kenneth Dixon can't pass protect. So it's not really a three-headed monster. It's kind of like a two-and-a-half-headed monster. But
I like Dixon. Like, I like his arrow pointing into next year. I mean, he has to figure out his pass pro, as you just mentioned.
Yeah.
But, I mean, when he does run the ball, I mean, he's got a lot of, like, good-looking moves to him. Powerful runner, and those are the guys that I really love having on my teams.
I don't think there's any. If they commit to him next year, and we can definitively say he's going to be, like, an 18-touch per guy next year, then definitely. But I think Terrence West was only, I think it was only a 1-year deal they signed him to. So I think he's a free agent. Who knows if they bring him back, but he could be one of those kind of fourth, fifth round picks that maybe hits if you draft him next year. All right, we'll take the break. And when we come back, so we have 15 games still to go.
Mm-hmm.
And Rob's going to join us after 9 o'clock. He's given us his list of his favorite plays today. And we'll get that after the update with Dan, who is doing double duty this morning. Happy New Year, the Fantasy Show live on Sportsnet 590 The Fan, and we'll be back after this.
Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. No medical exam or health questions will be asked. Sportsnet 590 The Fan, on demand.
Two of the Fantasy Show continues, or at least starts right now, on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Alex Ixero, Dan Riccio here, wishing you a very happy and healthy new year in 2017. Mark Boffo, Vic Palladian behind the glass, as it is week 17 in the National Football League. Every game this week, today, including a very enticing Sunday nighter between the Green Bay Packers and the Detroit Lions. Winner gets the NFC North, and we have learned from Ian Rappaport that Randall Cobb could dress tonight, but he's probably not going to play with a bad ankle, so should be a whole bunch of Jordy and Devontae Adams once again. Joining us on the line, our DFS expert, Rob Wong, to talk some Week 17. Happy New Year, Rob. How was last night for you?
It was good. Yeah, just stayed up to watch that Mariah Carey disaster.
You did.
Which really made my 2016.
She was so upset.
It was such an easy joke to be made. And you look through the Mariah Carey trending tweets last night, and everybody was making it like, oh, final death of 2016, Mariah Carey's career.
Yeah. Who had a worse day, Mariah Carey or Ohio State, right? That one was used quite a bit.
Yeah. And then 27 kicked off great with Drunk Don Lemon. So, yeah. It was a great couple hours there.
And then I actually got off to a rough start this morning. I couldn't find a Tim Hortons that was open.
Oh.
I went to two in Burlington, one in Mississauga, and the one here on Bloor and Jarvis wasn't open. So thankfully the Mickey D's was open. And in the parking lot where I park across the street, I always, you know, walk up the hallway steps to go outside and walk to the building here, and somebody clearly was smoking up there last night. Like, there was three blunts, three Laguerrettes on the ground, and it just, someone had a good night last night. Yeah. in that hallway. Okay, Rob, so, you know, tackling fantasy in week 17 is not the easiest thing to do, but we do have a bunch of teams today that do have something to play for. So when looking at your quarterbacks, you know, one of the three that you've listed, you know, in the Seahawks technically have something to play for and the other two don't, but you like Jacksonville, you like New Orleans, and you like Seattle today.
Yeah, and like you mentioned, it's all about, you know, looking for teams that have something to play for, an opportunity. But, I mean, I think there's a lot of guys out there that, you know, have something to prove, and one of the guys is Blake Bortles. And we saw Doug Marrone come in last week, and they kind of went more aggressive with the playbook and got Allen Robinson really involved. And he's on the road this week in Indianapolis, but against a beatable defense in the Colts. I love the fact that it's a dome stadium. And if they're going to continue to be aggressive with the passing, you know, you look at the run game right now, and obviously T.J. Yeldon's on IR. Chris Ivory is kind of banged up and questionable for today. So the run game is not something I trust. I imagine them throwing the ball quite a bit, and I imagine Andrew Luck's going to be able to put up some points. So I think this one's got some sneaky shootout potential. So I think Blake Bortles is pretty interesting once again this week. Drew Brees, obviously, on the road in Atlanta. You know, the New Orleans Saints have nothing to play for, but, you know, Breeze is a guy that's, you know, week in, week out, just loves to put up numbers, and this one has the highest total of the week. This one could absolutely be a shootout at the Georgia Dome, so I really like Breeze. And then with Wilson, Seattle has something to play for. They're going to be playing at the same time as the Falcons, so that one's going to be interesting, and we know where the ball is going to go on the Seattle offense. It's going to be run by Russell Wilson, Thomas Rawls, we'll get to later, and then Doug Baldwin as well. So those are three guys that are really standing out. Obviously, you know, you can't go wrong with guys like Matt Ryan and Aaron Rodgers, but for me, I think in tournaments, I'd be fading guys like Rodgers and maybe going with somebody else, like whether it's a Bortles or a Breeze.
What if you absolutely had to go dirt cheap, and we're talking EJ Manuel, Matt McGloin, Matt Castle,
Landry Jones.
Like, I know I'm kind of putting you on the spot, but if you had to play one of those guys to try and fit in some higher priced running backs and receivers, is there one of those guys you think? Like, yeah. Do you think EJ could work his way to 20 DFS points today?
I mean, he's definitely got the best matchup, you know, going up against the New York Jets. And, you know, he's had some success in the preseason, but, you know, we've seen him in the regular season, and he's just really bad. And I just don't know if I can completely trust him. I mean, there's just so many better options. I mean, even Blake Bortles. Blake Bortles, you know, on some sites isn't that much more expensive
right.
than guys like EJ Manuel or Matt McGloin or even like a Tom Savage. So I don't think this is the week you necessarily want to go, you know, dig in the bottom of the barrel to try to find a quarterback option.
All right, looking at your running backs, you have Thomas Rawls and Jaquizz Rodgers on your list. Who do you think is going to be the more chalky play in tournaments today?
I think it's going to be Jaquizz Rodgers, just because Thomas Rawls has been so, so bad. But he's got the primo matchup this week going up against the San Francisco 49ers. So, you know, I think Rawls is definitely going to be involved. He practiced fully this week, which is a great sign, you know, after being a bit banged up the last couple of weeks. So I think he's in a prime spot to really go off this week. I think he's going to be much lower owned. Jaquizz Rodgers, it really just comes down to the fact that, you know, he's really the only guy left in Tampa Bay. They have something to play for him, and their chances are very slim at making the playoffs. But, you know, he's a guy that's probably going to get somewhere in the neighborhood of 25 touches. And for, you know, a relatively cheaper guy, I think he's going to be pretty chalky. And then my final guy is David Johnson. I mean, week in, week out, we know the kind of floor and the ceiling that he has. And Bruce Arians has openly talked about wanting to get guys milestones if they have something to play for. And David Johnson is going to be trying to set some records this week, trying to become the first guy with 100 scrimmage yards in every game this season. He's got some other ones as well. He's got an outside shot at, I believe, a 2,000 rushing yard, 1,000 receiving yard game or season. There's a good chance that they're going to try to, get him some records today. So I think he's another strong play. He's going to be pretty chalky as well.
Now, you've already mentioned Russell Wilson. Well, wait. First, I have to know, did you play James Harden last night?
I did not play James Harden. I played Russell.
Join the club.
That's tripleta, as we would say, on the peninsula. So you got Russell Wilson. You got Thomas Rawls. Can you triple stack those guys with Doug Baldwin?
I think so. I'm going to do it today. It's sort of similar to what we see, when Le'Veon Bell, Ben Roethlisberger, and Antonio Brown are healthy. I mean, we know where the ball is going to go. And we saw last week after Tyler Lockett went down, Doug Baldwin had a 40% target share in that offense. So, it's obviously a matchup that, Seattle could easily run away with it. And, the guys might not play a full four quarters. But, as long as the game can maybe stay close or, even if it doesn't, I think we know where the ball's going to go. So it's going to go with Wilson, Rawls, and Baldwin. I think it's a pretty strong triple stack this week. Jordy Nelson, you guys talked about earlier. If Randall Cobb doesn't suit up, I don't think it really matters. We know Nelson and his role in that offense with all the red zone targets. We saw him torch Darius Slay on the Lions earlier this season. So I think, he's in for another primo matchup. And then Cam Meredith has just been unreal the last couple of weeks.
Yeah.
He used to be the top receiver in that Chicago Bears offense. And going up against Minnesota, on paper looks bad. But if you dig deeper, you look at the DVOA, the Vikings are the worst team at defending the middle of the field, which is where Meredith works in the slot. So I think he's in another great matchup this week.
Looking at your tight end plays, I can't believe how cheap Travis Kelce is on one website. And they, set their prices a week before. So they set it before Kelce went off last week. But in terms of the best value plays of week 17 for a team that has something to play for, I think Kelce's got to be right up there.
Yeah, I would not be surprised if he's, 40, 50% owned in tournaments just because he's been unreal and he is underpriced. He's playing like a number one wide receiver right now. It's kind of incredible. So, he's a strong play, but I think for tournaments, he's definitely fadeable. I think Zach Ertz, who on one side is priced right underneath him, just has as much upside this week, especially if Jordan Matthews is out. He could definitely eat. Ertz could. And then a couple of flyers. Jesse James, maybe. He's pretty a big long shot dart throw, but the Steelers obviously aren't going to play a lot of their starters. And if Ladarius Green is out, James is interesting going up against the worst team against the tight ends for fantasy points allowed. That would be the Cleveland Browns. And another guy I think is interesting as well, Eric Ebron, going up against the Packers.
All right. And which DST plays do you like today, Rob?
It's pretty tough. There's a lot of interesting spots, and the one team I just keep looking at on one side, just because they're pretty much the lowest team that I wanted to go for, is the Arizona Cardinals going up against the LA Rams. The Rams are just horrendous. I don't even feel like I need to pay up for any other defense this week, but if we're looking elsewhere, I think the Steelers are obviously interesting. I know they're going to rest some of their starters on defense, but the Browns are just so bad. And I think Washington's interesting as well, just because they're at home, they're favored, and the Giants are going to rest some guys. So defense is going to be interesting this week just to see where everybody goes.
And I kind of like the Texans too, right? Yep. Facing Tennessee, Matt Castle, DeMarco Murray's been kind of slowed over the last number of weeks. So, Rob, we appreciate all your help on the show throughout the football season, and I think we'll just keep talking to you next week, right? Wild card weekend, we'll keep doing it up, so we'll do it again next week. All right. Thanks, man.
All right, sounds good.
All right. Happy New Year. There is our DFS expert, Rob Wong.
Yeah, and I played wild card last year. I kind of like, and I do it in basketball too, I like shorter slates.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like these ones where there's too much to choose from.
Right.
I prefer like having 5-6 games to choose from.
Yeah.
We played Christmas Day basketball, and I love that slate.
That's great.
It was perfect. There's all these big teams, big players, and there's not a whole lot to choose from, so there's not a whole bunch of variance.
I found most of my success this year has come from, you can play the Monday night, Thursday night slate.
Mm-hmm. Where I've never done that,
picking
actually.
Picking for four teams.
Yeah.
It's a nice way to keep the Monday and Thursday night are a little more interesting than it usually is, but yeah, initially you're like, well, if you're only picking from four teams, you have to hit on almost everyone to cash. And to a point, that's true. But I've had more success in those smaller slates or like the afternoon slates. I've done really well if it's six or eight teams that you're picking towards. So
I like doing that, like choosing either the 1 o'clock slate or the 4 o'clock slate to play. I like doing that.
I found this year I've been playing the entire Sunday slate. I'll also have a 1 o'clock kickoff lineup, a 4 o'clock kickoff lineup, and then I'll do the Monday, Thursday night, or so I'm kind of have some balance. But even though the regular season is finishing off this week, we go live every week. So we're going to be here next week. We're going to look back at the quarterback position. Josh will return next week. I'm sure he's sleeping in his own vomit somewhere right now, just hammered from last night. That's pretty clear. And we'll also talk about wild card weekend. And then in like 4 or 5 weeks, we'll start our baseball talk. It'll be here by the time we know it.
Yeah, and we're sticking around for 2 hours for baseball talk.
We are, which is going to be awesome. So we're looking forward to your interaction on Twitter and phone calls, and we're going to be looking at each position in depth as we usually do. It's going to be a lot of fun. So we like doing the 2 hours. It's easy. We always run out of time.
Yep.
So it's going to be a lot of fun. All right. Nothing really to update in terms of Adam Schefter and Ian Rappaport, I don't think. Did we get the Spencer Ware thing out?
Yep.
That he's hopeful to play today. And Dan mentioned, the $600,000 bonus if he gets 79 yards. So again, we'll monitor their Twitter accounts if they have anything, but
And I mean, Isaiah Crowell had a couple of touchdowns last week against the Chargers.
Yes, so. He did. Yeah. And he actually might be a decent play today against the Steelers team that might rest him to some guys defensively. All right, let's get to the Texans on the road against the Tennessee Titans. As we have mentioned last hour, Houston is locked in as the 4 seed in the AFC. So they will host a wild card game next week. LaDainian Clowney is out for today. Jonathan Joseph could miss out too. And Lamar Miller is out for the Texans. It is the right move. So Alfred Blue, who did have 25 touches last week, is going to be starting today. He's for DFS, I think there are just some better plays.
Right.
He's an okay runner. And I think in this matchup, Tom Savage actually tries to pick apart this Titans secondary, which we've talked about is just a sieve right now.
Yeah, I mean, Allen Robinson, who hasn't been able to get open against anybody this year or hasn't really been good against anything this season, had 147 yards against them last week. So that's a positive. I think I might have some prospective DeAndre Hopkins shares today because I think they want to find some kind of chemistry for Savage and Hopkins going into the postseason.
If you want to be really bold in DFS today, the Titans have given up top 12 quarterback games to Ross Barkley. Holy soccer guy coming out. Matt Barkley. Ross Barkley scored on Friday. That's why. Matt
the
Barkley.
Merseyside Derby.
Barkley, Bortles, and Simeon have all had top 12 quarterback games against the Titans. So if you want to be really bold and go Tom Savage, maybe that's something you might do. And I kind of like Will Fuller today. It's like a third wide receiving option in a tournament, like, off the board.
Is he min price now these days?
That's a great question. But I doubt, I think in bigger tournament, in the millionaire maker on that one site, he might be
4,500.
He might be like 2% owned.
Yeah.
And I think he's got some big play upside. Again, it's a really bad secondary. In terms of the Titans, I really don't have any injury news aside from Marcus Mariota going down with a broken fibula. So Matt Castle is going to get the start. You know, the Titans kind of middle of the season mentioned that they wanted to get Derrick Henry a little more involved. Henry was kind of hurt at one point, but, you know, the last 5 weeks, DeMarco Murray is averaging 3.7 yards per carry.
Yeah.
You know, I wonder if this is a game that Derrick Henry just gets more work than DeMarco Murray. I don't know how crazy it is to say that I would rather prefer Derrick Henry at his price over DeMarco Murray, but I think this is a clear game to just get Derrick Henry. Give him a full workload. See what he can do here against this Texans D.
Yeah, I also like this is it makes logical sense that the Titans would say, "You know what? Let's see what we got here in Henry. We spent the big time pick on him.
Yep.
We've invested in DeMarco Murray as well, but probably best we take some of that workload off of his legs and see what we got here in Derrick Henry." I think, again, another tournament play where there's a lot of tournament plays here this week because you don't know the full picture. Mm-hmm. And you're going to have to take prospective shots at some guys.
Right.
And people don't like doing that. Obviously, it's safer to go with the guys you know the situation. But could be more beneficial in DFS tournaments today to go for something like that.
We should mention Texans run D over the last 8 weeks has been very good, holding opposing running backs to 3.83 yards per carry. Carolina Panthers on the road against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. The Buccaneers need to win. They need Green Bay to lose, and they need the Redskins to tie if they want to get into the playoffs and sneak in, which is highly unlikely. But the Buccaneers are going to have all their starters out there. Doug Martin has been handed a 4-game suspension for Adderall use, and Charles Sims was placed on injured reserve with a rib injury. So Jaquizz Rodgers is going to get the start today. And in the 3 games this year that he started with no Doug Martin, he had touches of 35, 27, and 20. And since Luke Kuechly has been out of the lineup for Carolina, they've given up some yards to running backs. So it's a very nice matchup for Jaquizz Rodgers. I would rather him over DeMarco Murray. I would rather Jaquizz over Frank Gore.
He's a top 10 player.
Latavius Murray, yeah, he's right there.
It's hard not to like Jaquizz Rodgers for what he did earlier in the year when he had these opportunities, and now that he's going to get it here in week 17. And again, it comes back to what we talked about earlier. Tampa Bay's still got that 1% chance of making it. So you know the coaching staff is going to be putting that in the heads of his players.
And the Panthers have actually done really well against opposing number one wide receivers lately, but I think with Cameron Brate going on season-ending injured reserve, this could be a 16-target game for Mike Evans. So in PPR leagues or PPR DFS spots, I don't know how highly owned he's going to be. Maybe 10-15% in kind of big tournaments. I don't know if he's going to be as obvious a play for most because of his price, but I kind of like Mike Evans today in DFS. He should get peppered with targets from Jameis Winston. And then in terms of the Panthers, of course, they have nothing to play for. Greg Olsen will play, but he could be limited in snaps. Cam Newton should be out there. Jonathan Stewart's banged up. I'm not sure why they would start him, to be honest. So this could be a whole bunch of Cameron Artis Payne. But since week 11, Cam Newton has completed 91 of 200 passes for 45%. That's the lowest in the NFL. Who do you think the best?
He's got to be hurt, right?
Yeah, he is. The shoulder's clearly bothering him. Yeah. I just wonder what's the best Carolina play in this game today.
I don't see a whole lot here. I mean, Greg Olsen is also logging an injury, so I think prospectively you might want to go with
Ted Ginn.
Yeah,
but the Buccaneers have been good too. They've allowed 5 passing touchdowns over the last 7 games.
I would avoid it as much as I possibly can. I mean, even Cam Artis Payne at his price, there's other guys at that price range that I would rather take the shot on.
The Jacksonville Jaguars on the road to take on the Indianapolis Colts. Both of these teams have nothing to play for. Dan said it earlier in the hour, no Chris Ivory. Chris Ivory might start from what I saw. Right. TJ Yeldon is on injured reserve. Denard Robinson is questionable to play, but I think you avoid that backfield as much as you can. But the passing game might be a lot to like. You know, Rob likes Blake Bortles today. Allen Robinson, as we talked about, they kind of moved him around last week, and he was tremendous. Marquise Lee caught a touchdown last week. He threw a touchdown last week to Blake Bortles. And here, the last 3 times Bortles has faced Indianapolis, he's been the quarterback 6, quarterback 3, and quarterback 3. So there's a lot of pieces to this passing game in week 17 that we kind of like today.
Yeah, and as Rob mentioned, I mean, Allen Robinson is the guy that you want to maybe pair Bortles with. At least I do. I mean, you look at the way Doug Marrone went about coaching it last week, and it was all about getting Robinson in different spots, mm-hmm. moving him around in the formations, finding him in the slot, finding him on the left side, on the right, any which way they could get Allen Robinson a better possibility of getting open, they did it. And it worked. And I expect that to continue, because I imagine Jaguars ownership is like, we got these awesome receivers. How can nobody find a way to get open?
Right.
And that's probably what they were so upset with the Gus Bradley regime with on the offensive side.
Would you go Allen Robinson in a standard league or Devontae Adams tonight?
Wow. I think I would go Allen Robinson.
Yeah. And would you go Allen Robinson or Golden Tate tonight? I think I'd go A-Rob in both situations.
Yeah, I think so too.
All right. For the Colts, Dante Moncrief injured his shoulder that gave him trouble earlier in the year. He is doubtful to play. And even though the Colts have nothing to play for, Chuck Pagano has said that he will not rest his starters here. So you can fire up Luck and T.Y. Hilton and Frank Gore, who is 38 yards away from 1,000 rushing yards. And I think the stat is that the last time like a 33-year-old running back rushed for 1,000 yards was like 30-plus years ago.
In 1984.
And he's
John Riggins.
Oh, my God. And he's played 91 straight starts.
Yeah.
Frank Gore. It's incredible.
It is absolutely incredible. And he'll maybe get a look at Canton if he keeps this up.
Yeah.
Mainly because of his longevity more than anything else. I don't know. I mean, I'm never a guy to play Frank Gore. I can never get a feel for when that Frank Gore game is going to be.
He's been pretty steady.
Yeah.
You're not really getting a big game from Frank Gore, but he's not really killing you either. He's a classic number two RB that you can just kind of leave there and not have to worry about, which is quite the luxury to have in fantasy.
Yeah.
The New England Patriots on the road to take on Dan's Miami Dolphins. The Patriots, with a win, will clinch the one seed in the AFC and home field throughout the playoffs. Malcolm Mitchell is listed doubtful for this game, so that's a little bit of a boost for Chris Hogan. But how do we evaluate the running backs here? Again, LeGarrette Blount has been a fantasy winner if you've just kept, like in DFS, if you played LeGarrette Blount pretty much every week.
Yeah.
I would think you've made your fair share of money. All the guy does is get touchdowns. And Deion Lewis has 34 carries the last 2 weeks, but James White's the pass-catching running back. So I still think LeGarrette Blount, even in a PPR format, is the guy I would want solely based on the touchdowns. But this is a game that the Patriots need to win. So I like all my usual Patriots in this game, including Chris Hogan, if you want to go for kind of a deep flyer.
Yeah, I like Chris Hogan. That's actually one of the plays that I was looking at in this game. It's weird to have, these are two playoff teams, and the home team, which is Miami, is a dog by nearly 10 points in this game. And Miami, Adam Gase has made it a point that he does not want to rest guys this week, even though Miami's They have a chance at the 5 seed, but their fate is pretty much sealed as to where they are in the postseason. I mean, I go LeGarrette Blount. Anytime I see the Patriots as a big favorite, that tells me they're grinding out a lead in the second half, and he's likely to get a touchdown.
And I love Brady today. I mean, Tyrod went off against Miami last week. Joe Flacco's had a big game against the Dolphins. Colin Kaepernick had a big game against the Dolphins, so I pretty much, even Martellus Bennett, if you want to play today.
Well, the way Charles Clay, I mean, they made Charles Clay look like a young Tony Gonzalez last week.
They did. And again, the Dolphins, if the Dolphins win today, there's a scenario they can move to the 5 seed, which means they would not have to go to Pittsburgh on wild card weekend, which would be significant. So Miami does have something to play for today. Byron Maxwell set to miss out. He's got a bad ankle. The OC in Miami said he wants Kenyon Drake involved in the game plan today. Now, as a Dolphins fan, Dan, how do you read into that in terms of Jay Ajayi and how many touches Drake could get?
Well, I feel like the Dolphins are wary of how Jay Ajayi is feeling after his game against Buffalo last week. He did come out of it a little bumped and bruised, even though he came out over 200 yards. They need to get Kenyon Drake a little bit more worked in here. And you look at the Patriots and they're just incredible against the run. So I don't expect Jay Ajayi to have a big day. This Patriots run defense is among the elite in the league. So I'm looking at where the Dolphins can exploit New England in the pass game. And
I have the answer. I have my hand up.
Yeah, yeah. Alex?
What is Kenny Stills?
That's probably the answer. I mean, 13 of Matt Moore's targets so far this year have gone to Kenny Stills. And look, this is a game where Matt Moore's probably going to have to throw the ball. So that might not be a great thing because he hasn't had to do that so far this year.
And down the field is where the Patriots have been hit on deep passes, which, of course, is what Kenny Stills excels in. And even just the targets for Jarvis Landry have just kind of gone down. So I'd rather Stills than Landry today.
Yeah, and we've also seen in the past the way Bill Belichick wants to negate anything that Jarvis Landry can do when the Patriots play the Dolphins.
The Chicago Bears on the road to take on the Minnesota Vikings. Pernell McPhee and Leonard Floyd could both miss out for the Bears. They are two of Chicago's top two pass rushers. That's good news for Sam Bradford, who, again, has been very efficient this year. I think that's also great news for Adam Thielen, who I think...
It's a very nice way of putting Sam Bradford's
Hey, look, he's completing like over 70% of his passes.
He leads the league in completion percentage. It's misleading at all. Not misleading at all.
It's still hard to do, even if they're two-yard receptions or screen passes like 80% of the time. Yeah. I like Thielen today. I think that's about the only Viking I like today. Maybe Kyle Rudolph if you have him in your standard league, but there's no Adrian Peterson for the Vikings today, and who knows if he's going to play again for Minnesota. Stephon Diggs is doubtful. I think it's Thielen, and I think that's it for Minnesota. And for Chicago, I will play Jordan Howard and Cam Meredith, and I maybe Alshon Jeffrey as well, but Cam Meredith in the slot has the best matchup today for Chicago. So,
what do you make of what happened in Minnesota there last week? Like, that is just such a mess.
You know what? On a whim, I started Jordy Nelson in a lot of DFS spots, and as I was watching the game, I'm like, oh, that's Terrence Newman, on Jordy. Like, oh, is he in this? Is that Captain Munnerlyn? What's going on here? Like, why isn't
one of the best cornerbacks in the league lining up against maybe the hottest receiver in the NFL?
Why is Xavier Rhodes on Devontae Adams? Mm-hmm. So I was cheering for it. I'm like, this is great.
I love this.
I hope this goes all game. And then they both him and Aaron Rodgers. I think Terrence Newman said he wanted to cover Jordy. Yeah. He had his own plan.
Basically, like 95-year-old Terrence Newman is like, you know what? I think I got it. Don't worry, Xavier. I got this guy.
So stupid.
And then he had like 150 yards in the first half.
Yeah. So dumb. That seems like something you should be disciplined for.
Yeah.
Like those guys should not be. Whoever followed that rule should not be playing today.
And good on Xavier Rhodes for like after the game being like, yeah, you know, we decided as a team that we were good enough to handle this situation as a team. And
like if it works.
Yeah. Nobody's talking about it.
But if it doesn't, I don't know how.
But it didn't just like not work. It was
blew
a
up in their face.
Disaster.
Yes.
It was essentially an H-bomb just dropping in on that pass defense. It
very
was
strange. Mike Zimmer must have been just
livid. And he finds out on
so
the sideline.
Off.
No, like, yeah, we decided when we took the field that this is how it was going
to
be.
The Buffalo Bills on the road to take on the New York Jets. Rex Ryan has been fired. Anthony Lynn will be running the sidelines here for the Bills. Sammy Watkins is questionable, but he's expected to play. Bills are going to be benching Tyrod Taylor. They don't want him hurt. Because
he may be anyways.
He's got a groin thing. It's true. If he doesn't pass his physical next March, if he's not healthy, then his extension bonus for next year could kick in. So they want to protect that. EJ Manuel's going to start. No Cordy Glenn. No Stephon Gilmore. And it's too bad that Tyrod's not playing today because he could have finished as the quarterback one.
Yeah.
And with EJ Manuel, I think he could. Kind of limp his way into 20 DFS points. I don't think it's crazy to say that just because of how bad the Jets secondary is.
I mean, you drafted Cardale Jones this year, and by all accounts, everybody likes Cardale Jones within the Bills organization. Mm-hmm. Why does he not get this shot?
Well, they say they all might like him, but they all say he's not ready. I mean,
it's a nothing game anyways against a horrible defense.
And
just
again,
give him a shot. Give him a crumble. You know, give him a little chance.
I'm not opposed to it. Like, I also see it from their perspective where they probably know EJ's not coming back and they're just like, here, go. If you get hurt, whatever, we're probably not going to see you again.
I like this line from Evan Silva on EJ Manuel. They'll turn to 2013 first round bust, EJ Manuel, a scattershot passer and shaky confidence and poor career rate stats, including a 58.8 completion rate and 6.5 yards per attempt average.
Other than that, he's been fine.
He's hashtag bad.
And they could have drafted Dak Prescott too, and they traded the pick that round, and then they took Cardale Jones. But that's a topic for another day. So I like LeSean today. Again, I think the Bills are going to want to play up for Anthony Lynn here. LeSean McCoy is, I believe, approaching 300 touches. But I like LeSean. I like Sammy. I like Charles Clay. And if you want to go with the punt play and EJ Manuel and DFS, then, you know, fill your boots. But as Rob said, Blake Bortles isn't too much more expensive, and I'd rather Blake Bortles today than EJ Manuel. So for the Jets, Matt Forte has been placed on injured reserve. Bilal Powell is going to try and play through. He's ill, and he's got a knee thing. So he's hoping to play today, and Ryan Fitzpatrick is going to start. Bryce Petty's out with a torn labrum. So I don't know if there's any Jet that I would want today.
No.
Robbie Anderson's hurt, but it looks like he had no chemistry with Bryce Petty. Now or he did, but Bryce Petty's out. Now Ryan Fitzpatrick's back. And it's a mess. Although you told me that looks like they're going to be keeping Todd Bowles as head coach.
That was Jason Lacanfora tweeting that this morning.
Okay. So there's nothing here. Like Brandon Burks might start at running back if Bilal Powell is out. We want to fade that situation. The Cowboys on the road against the Philadelphia Eagles. Dallas locked in. They're the one seed in the NFC. As we said last hour, Darren McFadden has an illness and he didn't practice on Friday. So he's a game time call today. If he doesn't play, we could see a bunch of Alfred Morris. And again, looks like the Dallas starters will be out there for a few series in Dak and Zeke and Dez Bryant. Then Jason Garrett will take him out. We'll see a little bit of Tony Romo. Mark Sanchez will get most of the play here. So who do we like on Dallas today?
Nobody. I mean, you can't play them. They're basically going with a preseason style lineup.
Right.
They're going to play these guys for a couple of series, and that's it. And it's probably not going to be full bore either. So I don't know. I think you fade everybody here.
Like, I think Alfred Morris is a little bit interesting if McFadden is out, for sure.
True.
But, yeah, I'm probably the line is going to be rested as well.
The offensive line's not going to play a whole lot. So, that makes me look at the Philadelphia side of the ball.
There's a couple decent plays here.
Zach Ertz is very intriguing. I did like Jordan Matthews, but he is expected to miss today. So, that makes me like Ertz even more, especially as a leverage play off of Travis Kelce.
Yeah.
Who's going to be really highly owned.
And I like Darren Sproles today. Darren Sproles really cheap in DFS, and it's going to be him and Byron Marshall, who's an undrafted free agent, that will be the only healthy running backs. I think they did sign a guy off the practice squad, but you know, in the times where Darren Sproles has gotten a lot of usage in Philly, there was a couple games where he was pretty much the clear starter. He was good.
Yeah.
And he's a cheap price in DFS, so I kind of like Darren Sproles today. I imagine he's going to get more than 20 touches or around 20 touches, so I do like that. Let's get one more game before the break. The Cleveland Browns on the road against the Pittsburgh Steelers. If the Browns win and the Niners lose, Cleveland falls out of getting the number one draft pick next year, so I would think the message from up top in Cleveland to Hugh Jackson is do what you can to lose the game today. And a big part of that working in the front office's favor is that RG3 has been cleared from his concussion, so he will start today. Terrell Pryor, 87 yards away from 1,000. Hugh Jackson apparently wants him to get it. Who cares?
Yeah.
I mean, I think there's one play here, and it's Isaiah Crowell.
Yep.
Steelers rest some guys.
I think I kind of like Fitzgerald Toissant.
Yep.
Not just because I like my croissants, but,
who doesn't like croissants, by the
way? Right. I had, Maria brought me a lovely chocolate croissant yesterday.
Oh, really?
And it was delightful.
Producer Maria Sadel. Like, what negative comments can you get from
a croissant?
A croissant.
I don't think there's one, really.
Right. Put cheese in it.
Butter
Nutella.
Croissant.
Yeah.
Nutella croissants.
Even
oh,
if it
man.
Falls on the floor, I'd probably still pick it up and eat it.
5-second rule.
Buttery goodness. For the Steelers, all the big guys are being rested today. No Big Ben, no Le'Veon Bell, no Antonio Brown.
Fade.
I wonder how much Eli Rogers is going to play because he has been.
He's also there. Like, you have to remember, he is like their second option. If Ladarius Green isn't playing.
That's what I mean. So because I've seen some fantasy writers say that he's pretty much going to be their go-to guy today, which he might be for a quarter.
Yeah. I don't think they give him a full complement of snaps.
No, I don't think so either. I think it's going to be
trust that.
A lot of Kobe Hamilton, a lot of Darius Hayward Bayes.
Xavier Grimble.
Yep. And Sammy Coates is off the injury list, so this could be a...
What about the road dog Jesse James?
Yeah, if you want to go really cheap, I don't mind it. I'd still rather, I don't know what the difference is between him and Charles Clay.
Right.
Probably go Charles Clay.
Yeah.
And Ladarius Green is working through the concussion protocol, so he will not play today. When we come back, we'll get to the late kickoffs, and we will preview the Sunday nighter between the Packers and the Lions. When we continue, it's the Fantasy Show on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Can't hear anything, but that's okay. I didn't mean it when I said I did.
This is the song that got her all flustered last week. Mark Boffo is lip-syncing. He is correctly lip-syncing to this song.
She couldn't even do that.
God, Boffo nailed it. Welcome back to the Fantasy Show. Happy New Year here until the top of the hour. It is Centennial Classic Day. Leafs and Red Wings down at Exhibition Stadium. The full coverage on Sportsnet 590 The Fan gets going at 12:30 with Leafs Nation pregame. Gord Stellick, Todd Holushko will be down at the stadium. And then puck drop just after 3 o'clock right here on The Fan. You can also watch it on Sportsnet. Their coverage gets going at 2 o'clock with Hockey Central. As we continue with our Week 17 look in the NFL, Saints on the road to take on the Falcons as we begin the late kickoff stand. The Saints have nothing to play for. The Falcons can clinch the 2 seed with a win and a bye in the NFC, so they do have something to play for here.
I totally whiffed on this. I said to you earlier off air, like, oh, Packers Lions are like the only under around 50. This is at
56.
Yeah. So I kind of missed this one. I don't know how I forgot this game, because this is the game that I love to play in DFS.
You might find a way to stack your entire lineup with just plays from this game between Breeze and Ingram and Thomas and Cooks and Julio and Devonta Freeman and Matt Ryan if you want. I mean, I think they're all fine plays. Like, Devonta Freeman has 12 touchdowns this year, 10 at home. He really excels at the Georgia Dome. I like him today. Michael Thomas back in week 3 when he faced Atlanta, 11 targets, had a touchdown. Brandon Cooks kind of struggled that game, but that's when Desmond Trufant was on the field. Falcons don't have Desmond Trufant today. And Mark Ingram's a pretty decent, cheap DFS option today. Yeah. And he's 60 yards away from reaching 1,000. So I like most of the guys in this game.
Yeah, I love Mark Ingram, and I loved him last week. They got angry Mark Ingram going, and he was all over the place. Couple of touchdowns, 93 yards, and he had the bigger share of the snap rate and the touches for the first time in quite some while. So I love that about Mark Ingram today.
Giants at the Redskins. The Giants are locked into the 5 seed. The Redskins are in if they win, and the Packers and the Lions don't tie, which means if the Packers and Lions just decide to, can you imagine?
That would be the best thing ever.
Just kneel down every play. That would be great. Aaron Rodgers would have minus 80 rushing yards on the day, which would not be great for fantasy. But so I'm fading all Giants here. Mm-hmm. I doubt their starters play very much. Redskins is different. Looks like Rob Kelly, who has an injury, is going to play today. Jordan Reed is going to return. In DFS, Jordan Reed's too expensive. I don't want Jordan Reed today. But like in a season-long league, would you throw him back out there considering all the injuries he's had?
Yeah, I mean, I love Jordan Reed's talent. So I think if you have him on your roster, you have to play him.
Okay.
DFS, I wouldn't look at him. I'd be all over D-Jax, though.
Cardinals on the road against the L.A. Rams. John Brown is questionable but is expected to play. Bruce Arians did say this week that injuries and things have contributed to Carson Palmer's bad season. What could those things be?
Just being old? Is that a thing?
Yeah, slow. Yeah. Arms not as good as it used to be. Rob mentioned it earlier this hour. David Johnson is looking for a 16th straight game of 100 yards from scrimmage. That would be a record. Larry Fitz needs 8 catches to break the Cardinals' season-long record for catches in a season. So fire up DJ, fire up Larry Fitz, and J.J. Nelson's been very good. So fire up J.J. Nelson as well. And Kenny Britt is doubtful with a shoulder injury. If you wanted to play Kenny Britt, looks like he's not playing today. It's Todd Gurley or nothing else. Do you want Todd Gurley today?
No. It's amazing that Kenny Britt's nearing a 1,000-yard season, though, in this Rams offense.
Yeah, this garbage time has been there. It's done a lot of good to Kenny Britt. Raiders at the Broncos. Denver's got nothing to play for here, but the Raiders can lock up the 2 seed with a win. But they could be the 5 seed if Kansas City wins and they lose. So the Raiders have something to play for. But Cooper and Crabtree going up against that defense.
Yeah.
Man, it'd be hard to play those guys today.
Would be very tough. I wonder on the Broncos side of the ball, maybe there's a narrative with Gary Kubiak there. As we heard this morning, it might be his last game as head
mulling
coach.
Mulling retirement.
Under the Denver Broncos.
Trevor Siemian will start. Paxton Lynch, I believe, is going to play the second half here. I don't mind the pass catchers in Denver, but I'd probably look elsewhere, especially in DFS, yeah, if I could. The Chiefs on the road against the Chargers. Big game for Kansas City. If the Raiders lose and Kansas City wins, the Chiefs will be the 2 seed, and they will get a bye in the opening round of the playoffs in the AFC. Spencer Ware is going to try and play through a rib issue today. Justin Houston has been ruled out. That is good news for Phillip Rivers. Look, the last 2 games, Tyreek Hill doesn't have a catch in the last 2 games combined.
But he's got a touchdown.
But he's running in long scores. Does he go for another one today against, like, how do you bank on that? How is that bankable? He's been so good, but.
Yeah, you got to keep fading.
Is it fluky? It's very fluky.
It's Ty Flukehill. Like, that's his name.
He's got double-digit points in every game since the middle of November.
Do you play Charcandrick West if Spencer Ware is out?
In season-long or DFS?
Either or. I think it's kind of the same. If you're looking to get in on that KC run game, you're looking at that situation, right?
Probably not.
Yeah.
I think there are some better options out there. Like, I'd rather pay up
that's
for Jordan Howard or just go with
setting your DFS lineup to have Spencer Ware in there is like...
I'd rather Darren Sproles than any of those guys at his price. For the Chargers, no Melvin Gordon. He is out. Kenneth Farrell placed on IR. Andre Williams has... Remember him?
Yeah.
He's been signed off the practice roster. It looks like he's going to start. So there's another cheap DFS option if you want. And Antonio Gates says he's not going to retire. Yeah, he's 2 touchdowns away from the record. And he says he's coming... Oh, no. Yeah, he needs 1 to tie, 2 to break Tony G's record. He says he's coming back next year.
To the Chargers?
I would think. I guess he's on...
What if they
he'll
don't
need
want
a new contract? Well, he'll, you know...
I was reading earlier this week that they want to feature Hunter Henry next year.
Which they will.
Yeah.
Seahawks and 49ers. Seahawks can finish as the 2 seed if they win and Atlanta loses. So, you know, Baldwin, Russ, and Rawls, we like. Nobody from San Francisco. And Sunday nighter, Packers and Lions both could get in if they tie.
Yep.
That would be awesome.
Could be the Neal game.
No Theo Riddick, so Zach Zenner will start. No Randall Cobb, so it could be another big game for Jordy, who's been so consistent. Ty Montgomery's had some pass protection options or
issues,
so maybe you don't like him today. They've tried to get Crystal Michael going. It hasn't worked. And that's about it. Should be a fun week. We got the Centennial Classic on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. 2.5-hour pregame with Gordon Todd starting at 12:30. Puck drop at 3. And... we wish you all, again, a very happy and healthy new year. We'll talk to you next week on The Fantasy Show. See ya.